Welcome to the Power of Synergy on BBS Radio. I'm your host, Gabrielle Cardona. Synergy. It's what we create when we come together. I've been in three different places for the last 3 weeks because I was injured recently, and I made some synergy with some amazing people, and I learned about people in the process. Synergy is what we create when we come together. We're powerful creatures, creations, entities. We're beings. We be things. We are things. We do things. And we have power. When we come together, we can make things exponentially better or worse. I always tell my clients that I've been taking care of as a coach for 20 years now. You have personal power. Do you know how to tap into that power? Your energy, that's emotional energy, that's physical energy, that's mental energy. Do you wield your energy and power with wisdom? Yeah, strength, that's nice. Endurance, that's appropriate, right? You want to keep going, you got to keep going. You have to have the ability along with that strength and endurance. But what's your energy like? It's either positive or negative. There is no neutral energy. Do you appreciate the power that you have? Do you know how to wield it in a good way? Positive or negative, you can't be indifferent. Indifference, not caring, that's actually negative energy. So when you have something going on in your life, there are people around you. Most of the time, yeah, sometimes you're alone. When you're alone, what kind of energy are you creating inside of yourself? The places that I was at, there were very negative people. When I got burned on the sidewalk in Phoenix from having a seizure, yeah, that was a pretty negative experience. But when I got to the emergency room, there were good people there who had healthy energy. They wanted to help me make my life better. My health better, yeah, but you know what? It wasn't just about that one bad thing that happened. How was I going to deal with it? How was I going to get better? They were going to be an element in my life that could facilitate me healing. Do you know the people that are in your life? Do you know the impact that you have on them? Well, the last place I was at, there were some amazing people, but it was so horrible there. I had to get out. I didn't get the treatment that I needed. I didn't get the care that I needed for my injury. It's been 3.5 weeks and I still have to take care of my wounds from that unfortunate event. But you know what? There were amazing people there too. I had some roommates, right? It was an institution that I got to stay at overnight. They had beds, they had treatment center literally on site. Supposedly it was supposed to be rehabilitation. They provided food. Yeah, it was like a hospital, almost like a hospital, but unfortunately the way it was set up, the things that they did were very unhealthy and they were very destructive to the other people that were staying there, that went there for care. They wanted help, they wanted support, they wanted that physical attention. Yeah, they needed treatment for their condition. But you know what? It only lasted about 30 to 60 minutes a day. It wasn't more than an hour of treatment per day. When you're with someone 24 hours a day, what kind of interaction do you have with them? Well, sometimes we would eat meals together. Sometimes we would go out to a area, they would call it the smoking area, but I don't smoke. I'd still go out and hang out with them. What kind of things did we talk about? We played games. Sometimes we played card games. Sometimes we played board games. Yeah, we would watch movies. We had a good time creating positive energy. That's what healed us. Yeah, the good things that we would talk about, the important things that we would share with each other. That created an opportunity to bond. And then we would get better emotionally. That gave us energy physically. That's what created that synergy for us. Well, okay, I'll be honest. When I got there, it was a Friday afternoon. Everyone was getting ready to take off for the weekend. What happened the first weekend I was there was very unhealthy. It was very unfortunate because people were sick and they were angry at the way they were being treated by the staff. That surprised me beyond words. I literally was speechless a couple of times because I saw the way that the residents, the other patients, were feeling, the way that some of the staff members, I won't say their names, they would look for fights. They would provoke conflict between the residents that were in pain. They were struggling. They were frustrated. They wanted that help and support. Well, yeah, the weekend staff, the overnight staff, some of them were not very loving. They were not caring. They were not supportive and nurturing. But that's what we need. You don't have to be in an unhealthy situation. You don't have to be a patient in a hospital to still need that catharsis. Sometimes just the lifestyle that we have means that we need to get together to create positive energy with each other that will fuel us to keep going in the daily lifestyle that we have. What I want to do, actually, since one of the residents there, he said to me, "What do you do? What kind of work do you do?" Because he saw me getting on the computer a couple of times. I said, "I'm a life coach. I'm a relationship coach. I have a book. If you know you can't really afford to hire me," he said, "can I have the book? I really want your book because I see how you are and I see the things that you do and I hear what you say and I think you're a really smart lady." And I said, "Absolutely. You know what? I'll give you the book for free." He was so grateful and he was so excited. And he said he wanted to make his life better. So I gave him some advice for free. Yeah, I charge a lot, but he genuinely wanted to get better. That's what I saw. That's what I knew. So I said to him, "Anything you want to know, I'll tell you for free. You're a good quality man. And if you want to make people's lives better by sharing that quality, I'll absolutely help you and support you in any way you want." And I saw other people were looking and they were listening. They didn't really want to ask me what I was doing necessarily in public, right? But that's okay. When I took off yesterday, I didn't really give people much opportunity to take my business card or get my personal number, my cell number. I did give one of my lady friends my card and I said, "Yeah, if you want to go ahead, this is my cell number and the number to the radio station." So for people who saw what I was doing in the last few weeks at the different places, the different hospitals and rehabilitation centers and physical therapy venues that I was taken to, if you want to call in the next hour or so, what are we at? Just about 8 minutes. Yeah, in the next 50 minutes or so, the number to the station is 888. 627-6008. I had a totally different plan 2 days ago for what I wanted to talk about. But now I'm just going to share with my listeners what I do as a life coach for free. This is going to be like a free session. So if you have any questions about what I'm saying, again, the number is 888-627-6008. And my producer, Don, he's going to answer the phone and he's going to let me know that you're calling in with a question. I just want, first of all, everyone to know that I've been working with BBS Radio for 4 years now. This man is amazing. I actually consider him one of my personal friends, and he's been so loving and supportive to me throughout these last 3 weeks. I want to just do a shout out. Don, I love you, and I think you're amazing. So anybody who calls in, you're going to have the honor and privilege of talking to my producer before you talk to me. Any and all questions, lines are open. Okay, so I want to start out by saying what I teach people as a coach is how to be happy and healthy and successful. My son calls me a shrink in denial, but I say no, the difference, the genuine better difference between coaching and psychiatry, therapy, counseling is I don't try to fix what's wrong. I teach you what's right. Let's tap in today into what's right. What you're powerful, what you're good at, and maximize it. Yeah. And I give people as a coach, I give them a game plan. Have a specific goal in your life. What do you want to do? How are you going to get from here to there in the most natural way for you? So in the first part of the show, I'm going to be talking about your personality. The second part, I'm going to be talking about where you want to go in your life. Define it specifically. Figure out then the last part, how you're going to get from here to there with tools and resources. anything that you're going to have to deal with along the way. Because, yeah, you know what? Life makes stuff difficult from time to time. You're going to have challenges, right? Maybe stumbling blocks, we're going to turn them into stepping stones. And when you have, before those things happen, access to the tools and resources that you are going to definitely need from here to there, you will be in a better mindset. You will have that positive energy that even in a difficult situation, you will know how to reach out to the people in your life and to create the fuel, the strength to give you the endurance to get from here to there successfully. Absolutely. A coach. Yeah, sometimes I deal with issues. Those are going to come up in life. Maybe you have emotional issues, personal issues, but I don't focus on them. And mostly, most importantly, I don't label people as mentally ill. Just because you have challenges and you're overwhelmed with a situation doesn't mean you have a mental illness. And it certainly doesn't mean that you need pharmaceutical intervention. No, most of the time, in fact, even in these facilities I was at, people don't need drugs to deal with whatever it is that's going on in their life. A coach gives you the tools and the resources. Yeah, the strategy, how to score, but also the support. Sometimes you got to go back and you got to check and say, okay, what's the next move we're going to make? If you know where you are in your life right now, great. You know where you want to go, great. We're going to start out when we come back with how do you move through your life? What's your personality? We need to figure out what game you're playing because I'm telling you, baseball is not the same as football and basketball is not the same as soccer. We're going to figure out what your game in life is, figuring out your nature, your personality, and that's what we're going to spend the rest of the show talking about. How to score in the game of life, the game you're playing. We'll be right back. This is BBS Radio. I'm Gabrielle Cardona with the Power of Synergy. Welcome back to the Power of Synergy on BBS Radio. I'm Gabrielle Cardona, a life coach who specializes in relationships. But you know what, ladies and gentlemen, today I'm going to give everyone a free book in the way that I'm going through my show, the things that I'm talking about. Yeah, I have a life coaching workbook that you can go ahead and buy online. You can come to me and I'll give you the audiobook if you buy it from me for free, just because you know what? I think people need to know how to be successful in life. As a life coach, I'm going to give you the tools and resources and strategy and support. Not everyone can afford to hire me, so I'm giving you the free once over on what I would give you. Otherwise, in sessions, one-on-one sessions, the first thing I start out with is your personality profile. We need to figure out what you're doing in life. But I'm going to be going kind of fast. If you have any comments or questions that you want to go ahead and ask me, please don't hesitate to call in. The number of the station is 888-627-6008. Okay, so now, first of all, keep in mind that I'm talking about your personality profile in the context of Myers-Briggs type indicator. Now, it's a very famous personality profile system. And if you hire me, I'm going to spend 2 hours taking everything about you into consideration. This is just going to be a quick overview. There are four dichotomies. Okay, that just is a fancy word for facets of your personality. The first one is your social energy. The second one is your general focus. The third one is how you make decisions. And the last one is how you carry out the decisions that you make. So I can ask basically five questions about each of those features of your personality, and you'll get a a generally good idea. Just keep in mind that you have to answer the questions based on what is most natural for you. Unfortunately, a lot of the people that come to me in the very beginning, they honestly don't know what's not natural for them. All they knew is what they've been doing for the last 20, 30, 40, 50 years. I have clients, they come to me, and when I ask them, what do you feel is more natural for you? Their answer is, I'm sorry, I don't understand the question. I can tell you what I do. No. The first part is your social energy. Now, ladies and gentlemen, these are very simple questions. I don't care what you currently do in your life. If you were left alone, what would you do? And if you were not judged and criticized, what would you want to do? Okay. The first one, energy is about being introverted or extroverted. You have social energy, emotional energy, physical energy. Do you get your energy when you are alone and spend it when you're with other people? Or do you get your energy from being around other people and spend it when you're alone? Let me ask you some basic questions. Number one, who do you call your friend? An extrovert would say, anyone that I like. An introvert would say, people who are very special to me. And it's a private relationship and it's a profound connection. Okay. Now, again, let me tell you the number of the station, 888-627-6008. Because I'm going to be asking some other questions that might trigger something inside of you. Please don't hesitate to call in. The other questions that I ask people include, yeah, when you have a special event in your life, who do you want there? An extrovert would say as many people as possible. An introvert would say only special people. Okay. The third question I ask is when you're talking and you have to raise your voice because people are talking and people are more and more and more people are talking. How uncomfortable does that make you? You know what an extrovert would say? Sometimes people have to tell me to lower my voice because when I get excited, I get loud. An introvert would say, no, I do not pass a certain decibel level. And if I have to scream in order to be heard, I'll just stop talking altogether until I can be heard, right? At a reasonable volume. The last question I ask is, how much does it bother you to be interrupted? An extrovert would say, not at all, because I can go ahead and interrupt people too, as long as I get my message out, right? Unless I get that attention. Well, an introvert would say, no, don't you interrupt me. If you interrupt me, that's very rude. And again, I will stop talking until I know that I have everybody's ears, right? And attention. The second questions are about your social energy. Nope, that was the first one. Okay, now we're going to talk about your general focus in life. Look, we have five senses going on. That's a lot of activity going on around us, but we also have something going on inside of us. That is the absorption of that information. It's the processing of that information. It's completing thoughts and ideas with the information. Now, keep in mind that the first one was about being extrovert or introvert. So the letters are E or I. The second dichotomy is about it's about intuition or sensory. If you are sensory, the letter would be S. Intuitive, that's about the letter I. Well, you know what? Introvert already got I. So let's go ahead and make intuitive an N. So it's EI for the first one or SN for the second one. Now, this is what I love to tell people about the SN dichotomy, where I have a lot of stuff going on around us. My husband is sensory. I'm intuitive. I'll tell you some questions you ask yourself about being sensory. Number one, how easily do you get lost? Okay. Sensors, they have an amazing ability to notice everything around them. And they have an amazing sense of direction, an internal compass, almost infallible. You know what? An intuitive like me, I get lost walking around the block. I can be somewhere three or four times and still forget how to get there. Okay. That right there should tell you what you are naturally. But you know what? Let me ask you a few more questions about sensory or intuitive. How often do you just think about what's right here, right now? And how often do you think about what could potentially be in the future? Sensors are about the right here, right now. Intuitives are about what could potentially happen in the future because they're thinking about how things are connected and how they're related, which begs the next question. Do you think about the literal, concrete, tangible? Then you're probably a sensor. If you're thinking about the symbolic connection, then you're an intuitive. Okay, and then the last part really is about just basic stimulation in life. If you saw really scary looking food on a table, how tempted would you be to try it? You know what? An intuitive would say, I'm good. I know what I like, and I'm just going to stick with what I like. A sensor would say, even a bad experience is a good experience because it's giving me the stimulation. It's giving me information about life that I can put to practical use. You know what? I might actually be able to create something with that bad information experience. No, because hey, any stimulation is good stimulation. An intuitive would say, you know, I can read a book about it. I don't have to personally experience it. Okay. So then we're coming up on the third dichotomy on how you make decisions. But again, the number of the station is 888-627-6008, if you need any clarification of what I just talked about. The third dichotomy is about how you make decisions. You're either a thinker or a feeler. Now, thinkers are not intelligent, okay? And feelers are not emotional all the time. There are a lot of feelers who are brilliant people, and thinkers who are not healthy can get overly emotional about everything. Thinker just means you make decisions in life based on rational, logical facts. Feelers make decisions in life based on the emotional needs of the other people in their life. Wow, you know what? It would be nice if people's emotions and feelings and needs always made rational, logical sense. But you know what? They don't. So some questions that I ask people are, how hard is it for you to give bad news to someone that you love? You know what? A thinker would say, sometimes life is just bad. You deal with it and you move on. A feeler would say, I kind of avoid it if at all possible. Maybe they can learn it without me having to be the source of their pain. Okay, how about the second question? When you genuinely have to learn information, do you think about what you're learning in a logical, rational, intelligent way? Then you're a thinker. Or do you think about it in the context of how can I make humanity better with my generosity and my caring? Okay, now, then we're talking about something, let's just say, as an example. If you had to perform life-saving surgery, okay, on someone that you love, but you don't really know how to do it. And so the doctor says, hey, you know what? You're going to have to be the one to perform this procedure on this person that you love. But I've got the book for you. As long as you get all of the information, you can go ahead. I promise you, as long as you continue to do this procedure, you will save their life. You're just probably going to hurt them a little bit in the process. Oh man, a thinker would say, okay, I can do this as long as you guarantee that as long as I'm learning something and I'm applying what I learned in a good way, you know what? Surgery hurts. A feeler would say, oh my gosh, if I knew that they were in pain, I wouldn't be able to read the book because especially if I'm the source of their pain, it would genuinely hurt me to hurt them. Okay, so now here's the thing that I want to say right now. Everybody does everything. Everybody at times, you know what? It applies, both things apply to me. Yes, sometimes you do things in a thinker way, sometimes you do them in a feeler way. Remember, the question here is, what is the most natural for you? What are you the best at naturally, right? What do you have that preference towards? What are you just inclined to? Did you have to learn how to do the other thing? Then that's probably not your nature. Okay. I'm a thinker. I had to learn how to be sensitive to other people's needs because you know what? Most of the time, what people need doesn't make a lot of sense to me. And if I know that what I'm doing is going to be the smart thing to do, then it's going to be the successful thing to do. It's going to make sense. Yes, it's going to make you unhappy, but that's okay. A feeler would say no. If it's going to make people unhappy, it doesn't make sense, right? Okay, so keep those things in mind. Now, the last letter of your personality is about how you carry out the decisions that you make. You're either a perceiver or a judger. Oh, sorry, in the last dichotomy, the thinker or feeler is T or F. Okay, so the last part is a perceiver or judger, P or J, how you carry out the decisions that you make. I love these questions because, again, you are going to know right away what is the most natural for you, what is the easiest for you, what you do the best. Okay, so some questions that I ask, perceiver or judger questions. Do you like to make lists of things that you have to do, schedule things that you have to do? Yeah, you know what? A judger would say, absolutely. And I like to know even the day before what my schedule is going to be so that I can plan things and have structure in my daily life activity. Yeah, a perceiver would say, sure, lists are fun to make, but probably halfway through the day, I'd lose the list. Yeah, I can make another one, but I certainly am not going to look at it several times, an hour, right, or the day. Okay, well, then how about this? When you do know that you have a schedule, you have certain things that you need to get done at certain times. How important is it for you to be on time? Okay, you know what? Let's ask a very simple question. Would you rather be 55 minutes early to an appointment or 5 minutes late? You know what? A judger would say, I don't want to be late. That's the whole reason why you have the schedule, that appointment. You have to have that structure. And when you're late, it throws everything off. If the only way I can get there on time is to be excessively early, it's the lesser of two evils. A perceiver would say, no, you know what? Hey, if the party hasn't started, then I'm not officially late. I could be late if, you know, they might be running late too. Okay. That's definitely a perceiver. Now, the next question I ask is, are you more excited at the beginning of a project or at the end? Okay. You know what? A perceiver, they have a lot of energy at the beginning. And you know what? As they're going through, it's kind of hard sometimes to finish. You know what? We'll just start something else. A judger would say, well, you know, I have energy in the beginning, but the closer and the closer and the closer I get to the end, the more energy I have, because you know what? I'm successful. That's important to me. It's absolutely about completion. When you have these projects and you don't finish them, you're actually creating disaster in the world. You know what? And that would bring me to my final question. Okay. This is the kind of the dirty little secret question. If you've done something that's not on your list, how excited are you about finishing it? Yeah. You know what? A judger would say, I'm going to write it on the list just so that I can scratch it off. Because that is about accomplishment. It's about success and completion. Because ladies and gentlemen, judgers like to create structure and stability in the world. Perceivers, they know that the world is not hard, fast rules. It's a very fluid place. A lot of things happen that weren't supposed to happen. You have to know how to adjust to those things and go with the flow. Okay, so you know what? E or I, S or N, T or F, P or J. The number again to the station, you have any questions, 888-627-6008. And if you are listening to this show in an archived form, you can go ahead and email me a question, synergyrelationshipcoaching@gmail.com. Anything you want to know, I would be more than willing to answer that on a non-show day. Right at a non-show time, because again, all of these shows are archived on bbsradio.com. And this is the important thing to remember, ladies and gentlemen. Again, you have to really know yourself, because when you have these good things about yourself to remember and think about, then it's always going to be in positive approach that you take. I went a little bit over to finish all of these questions, but it was really important. So we're going to take a real quick break now. When we come back, we're going to be talking about how to get through your life in a healthy way based on your true nature. This is BBS Radio. I'm your host, Gabrielle Cardona. Welcome back to the Power of Synergy on BBS Radio. I'm Gabrielle Cardona. All right, so what we're going to be talking about now, if you truly understand the letters and you're pretty confident, excuse me, about what they are, and you really are ready to do what is best for you, let's talk about the most important thing in your life, how you spend your time. Okay, because I can have five different people come to me with the exact same goal. Their personality is going to determine how they spend their time. I would give five different people with the exact same goal five different strategies to reach it. Okay, so now this can seem a little bit overwhelming at first because getting from here to there, yeah, it's not a short road. And again, a lot of the things that come up, they're going to be challenging, but keeping your mindset of I, as a certain personality, have gifts and talents and strengths and abilities. You need to know that your daily lifestyle needs to be about your dominant function. That is going to be a little bit confusing at this point. So again, the number to the station is 888-627-6008. Please don't hesitate to call in and ask a question if at any point something that I've said is confusing or you want me to explain it in greater detail. Okay, so now what you need to do is look at the four letters. It's either E or I for the first one, S or N for the second one, T or F for the third one, and P or J for the fourth one. Now, keep in mind that everybody has to do everything. So functional order is not about what you exclusively do. It's about how your personality prefers to do the things, even the things that are not in your nature. Okay, so now to determine your functional order, we're talking about the two middle dichotomies. We're going to have to accept that even an S is going to do N things, and even a T is going to do F things. So of the S, N, T, F letters, what do you do most to least? And what should you do, right, for your personality, most to least? The last letter of your personality, the P or the J, is going to tell you which of the two middle letters will be extroverted. You know what? I love it when people say, I'm an ambivert. I do both. Everybody does both. The last letter of your personality is just going to say which of the two middle letters you do in an extroverted way. Okay, so if you're a P, the second letter, the S or the N in your personality, will be extroverted. If you're a J, the T or F, third letter of your personality, will be extroverted. Then once you take a look at your first letter, you'll know if you're going to be doing your extroverted activity most or least. That's it. If you're an introvert, you're not going to want to do your extroverted function. You're going to want to do the one that's introverted, okay? That's okay. The fact is, one that you do in one social way, the other one you're going to do in the other social way. That's the beauty of our nature. That's the balance. If you do your SN dichotomy in an extroverted way, you're going to do your TF dichotomy in an introverted way, and vice versa. But here's the most important thing to remember. Whatever letters your personality is not, you're still going to do those things, but you are going to do them in a balanced way with your personality. So let me just give you an example of, I just love my husband's personality. He's an ESTP. So let me break that down in a very plain and simple way. The fact that he's a P means the second letter of his personality, his S, is going to be extroverted. That means the T of his personality will be introverted. So that means his most active is going to be his S because he's an extroverted, right? Personality, his extroverted S is going to be his number one activity. His introverted T is going to be his number two activity. But about three and four, the N and the F that he is not, what is he going to do more? Well, the great thing again about balance is whatever he does the most, the S, he's going to do the least opposite, his N. So the N is going to be number four on his list, but it's also going to be in the opposite social orientation. So if his S is extroverted and he does it the most, the introverted N is going to be the least favorite activity for him. But then if his thinking is introverted, that means that his feeling is going to be extroverted. You know, it's pretty good to do, but it's not as good as the S. Well, the feeling then, it's not going to be his favorite, but it's not going to be as bad as the N, right? Okay, so if his thinking is introverted, then his feeling is going to be extroverted. So going down the list of most to least, number one is his extroverted sensing. Number two is his introverted thinking. Number three is his extroverted feeling. And number four is introverted intuition. It's very important to remember, ladies and gentlemen, that you are going to have to do everything in life that is not your personality, included in the ones that are your personality. You're just going to do them best to worst, most to least. So what I tell people is that your daily lifestyle has to consist of the number one activity that's called the dominant function. You need to do that for 50% of your daily life. So you know what? If you're healthy, you're awake 16 hours a day. That means you're sleeping 8 hours a night. 50% of your day, that's 8 hours, needs to be your dominant function. If you want to go ahead and give me a call to find out the order of your functionality because you didn't get it in the 3 minutes that I explained it, that's okay. 888-627-6008. Your second function is your auxiliary function. If you're doing your dominant function for 8 hours a day, you should only be doing your auxiliary function for half that time. 4 hours a day, okay, 25% of your day. You're dominant for 8 hours, you're auxiliary for 4 hours. The third function is called your tertiary. You should only be doing that for 15 to 20% of your day. You should only be doing it for 2 to 3 hours a day. And then the last function, the lowest on your list, is your inferior function. You should only be doing that for 10 to 15% of your day. 1 to 2 hours at the very most. So when you're thinking about what your healthy lifestyle is, you have to be doing things in the way that is most natural for you. Do not do things in an excessive amount or an excessive way or in an unbalanced, unhealthy way. It is very important for you to remember that each function will have an orientation socially. You have to keep the activities that you're doing within the context of the social orientation. Look, I'm an INTP. That means the P has made my intuition extroverted. So then my thinking is introverted. When I am doing a thinking activity, I can't think in a group of people. Whenever I'm around people, my intuition kicks in and my thinking turns off. Now, what does that mean? Even worse, if my intuition is extroverted, my sensing is introverted. You know what? I try to be social when I'm being sensory. I cannot be social when I'm cooking. The minute that I talk to someone while I'm cooking, I burn myself or I cut something wrong or I forget how to what is that, a spatula? Oh, right. And so I have to flip the, stop talking to me. I cannot focus on what I'm doing because my sensing is introverted. Well, you know what? That means if my dominant thinking is introverted, that means my inferior feeling is extroverted. Yeah, I can do extroverted feeling activities, but I'm not going to be engaged with them thinking, right, on that same level. Even if extroverted feeling is my inferior function, I really shouldn't be doing it for more than 1 to 2 hours a day if I'm doing it in the context of my other extroverted activity, which is my intuition. Ooh, okay. Let me do my extroverted feeling in an extrovertedly intuitive way. Then I will do it in a very high quality, on a high quality level. And so then I can go ahead and keep the balance of my daily life activities always in a good, healthy ratio, right? Proportion, manifestation, know what you're doing. What are these activities in your life qualifying as? Well, you know what? If you have questions about what does the work that I'm doing right now in the office qualify as, if I'm being socially interactive, but I'm on the computer, is that thinking or is that intuition? Yes, that's another reason why people hire me, just to take an inventory of their daily life. Please don't hesitate to call in and ask a question. The number to the station again is 888-627-6008. When we come back, it's going to be kind of a little bit uncomfortable. I'm just going to be talking about you have to be honest with yourself about where you really are, because yeah, it's going to be about taking a look at some things in your life that have happened, but you don't have to focus on it excessively. Again, when it comes down to it, getting from here to there, you shouldn't look behind too much. Focus on where you're going. And I'm also going to talk about the tools and resources that will help you set up the plan for success, the roadway that you are going to stay on, because you know your nature, right? And you know where you want to go in life. You want to have a lifestyle that's healthy for your personality. That's going to be what keeps you focused. Knowing where you've been is important, but most importantly, having the tools and resources for anything that's going to come up between here and there, that will keep you truly motivated. My name is Gabrielle Cardona. This is BBS Radio. You're listening to The Power of Synergy. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Power of Synergy on BBS Radio. I'm Gabrielle Cardona, a life coach, a relationship coach. I specialize in helping people get along with each other. But today I'm talking about having a goal in life, knowing where you are, knowing how to reach your goal, and being prepared for anything that's going to come up that will inevitably come up as you are pursuing the success in your life. You set up a game plan, but you know what? Sometimes if someone says to you, well, you know, how do you get to California? Well, okay. Sorry, I got a little bad connection there. Hold on one second. Go into a little place. Okay, so if you have to go to California, well, are you coming from Washington or Texas? That's an important thing to know. As a life coach, what I taught people was, know where you are in this moment. Truly understand where you have been in your life. Be able to take an inventory. Okay, so some of the things that I ask people to do is just kind of think about some experiences that you've had. What has happened to you in your life that may have had a high impact on you? Who have been the people in your life that have influenced you the most? What have been the choices, the most significant choices that you have made in your life? Now, these are some of the things that are toughest for people to acknowledge: the behavior punishments and rewards. Sometimes those other questions, yeah, they're not too hard because they're general overall questions. But when you're really taking the pieces apart, you have to know what affected you the most and why. That's why it's good to start out knowing your personality. So again, as I go over these things, think about them in terms of the context of your personality. Okay, so sometimes I say we need to start with the good, right? Now, again, behavior rewards are good because positive energy it's better than negative energy. Right? It keeps you healthy. It doesn't do damage to you. But you got to be careful when you think about your personality. You may have been told to do different things than what is natural for you. So, in a way, it might not have been a good thing for you to be rewarded in certain ways if it meant it inhibited the manifestation of your personality. Now, let me go ahead and read through a list what I have in my book. Verbal affirmation. Yeah, nice words. Social confirmation. People around you doing the same thing. Monetary compensation. You may have been given money. Self-reinforcement. Your internal dialogue that you might not have realized was a repetition of the things being said around you. Reciprocity. Well, it could have been a tangible return in direct proportion to whatever you gave or performed. A personal gift. Attention or affection, a title, right? Public acknowledgement, recognition that people are impressed by. Those are all very good things for you to receive as a reward, as positive reinforcement, because it motivated you to continue doing something good. Well, but what if it wasn't really something good that you were getting rewarded for? Okay, well, that could be a problem. Now let's think about behavior punishments. You might have been doing something that wasn't so bad, you know, it might not have been the best thing to do. But if you received a behavior punishment that had a traumatic impact on you, it might have inhibited the growth and development of your more positive abilities and activities. Okay, some of the popular ones, the most common ones, we're talking about public shame. That would be using others' criticism and judgment to take away your self-esteem. Private humiliation, making you feel bad in secret. Emotional abandonment, sometimes just the people that we love making us feel alone, even when they're in the same room with us. Or guilt. Okay, that's a conscience manipulation. We have a good conscience telling us what's right and wrong. If someone takes advantage of that and maximizes it to an extreme degree, that's not a good thing. Physical pain, obviously, inflicting harm. It leaves physical marks that can remain long after that experience has stopped, or threats of potential harm. Wow. Deprivation, taking away physical necessities like food, warmth, light. Well, how about withholding love and approval? What of these activities did you have in your life, have you experienced that might have made you say, you know what, I know what I want to do, but it's not worth it to do it if I'm going to have to experience these things. No, you know what, I'm just going to go ahead and stifle and suffocate and deny and repress who I am. Okay, well, you know what, you might need to talk to a professional what's going on in your life to help you work through and resolve some of those things. But again, you need to keep an inventory of what in your life has been good and what in your life has been bad, and deal with it as it comes up. Now, this is my favorite. My favorite part is, what are the things that you can have access to that you will be ready for in the different challenges that come up in life, the different struggles that you're going to have inevitably in your life. In the process of getting from here to there, sometimes we lose focus. So I tell people, you know what? Get milestones and rewards. When you have distractions in your life that you've literally forgotten what you're doing, you can keep yourself focused by saying, you know what? Forget it. I'm not even going to look at the end. I'm just going to go ahead and take baby steps, right? If I can get to some point en route to the final destination, I will be more focused because I will be more motivated. Okay, and the important part here, folks, is when you reward yourself, you have to make sure your reward doesn't undo the progress that you just made to make it to that milestone. Okay, now how about loneliness? Have a support system. Know the people in your life. And most importantly, their personalities. Because if you have people in your life who are emotional support, then you don't go for them physical, go to them for physical support. You go to them for that loving, nurturing encouragement. But you know what? If you have people who are great physical hard workers, then you know what? You don't go to them for mental support to help you solve a problem that's based on a complex concept or principle. You know what? If you need a ride somewhere, if you need money, then you can go to them and they're absolutely willing to help you in that way. How about it? Mental, moral support? Okay, well, then you might go to someone who's insightful and they really do love to solve a problem. Know who the people in your life are and what they're great at, because you know what? There's more joy in giving than in receiving. When you go to people and say, who you are makes my life better, they love to give and share and help. Okay, you know what? Managing negative reaction emotions, those are tough. We have three different emotions. We have anxiety, we have fear, we have anger. When you know how to understand the source of those three different things, they're very important. Anxiety is what tells us that something could potentially go wrong. Fear is something that tells us you're in danger here. Something is going wrong. Anger is our body and mind telling us something went wrong. You need to fix this problem. They're very intense experiences, but they're very important reactions because it's how our body tells us that we need to address something that's not right and we can fix it. All we have to do is remember that we can compartmentalize what our emotions are when we work through all of the physical processes and sensations, that when we're done taking care of ourselves, we can say, okay, now what in the world created that experience for me? How do I resolve it? Okay, you can get a daily checklist to create a routine. You might need to change your actual lifestyle, whatever was causing that negative reaction. If you can figure out what in your life might genuinely need to be changed, that can create positive energy. And keeping the people in your life as part of the process, literally saying to them, you are going to be a source of my success. They get excited with that. You know what? Sometimes you just might need to create a new habit. If you have something in your life that you're trying to change, get a checklist and say, okay, if I'm going to start doing something new, I have to stop doing something current. You're going to need a shot in the arm. Have activities that are going to give you a shot in the arm as you are creating new habits in your life. Give yourself 21 days to turn something actually into a habit. Yeah, once it becomes automatic for you, you don't have to think about it as much as you did when you were starting it, right? Once it becomes more natural for you, then you don't have to worry about getting that checklist, unless you're a J, because you're going to love that. It's not going to be an obligation or a burden. It's going to be something that you know is facilitating your success in life. Think about it, ladies and gentlemen. Synergy is what we create. There is no neutral energy. You know that when you are in a good quality, positive mental and emotional state, that is going to affect other people. Know where you are in your life. Understand how you got there. Know where you're going specifically and make sure you get from here to there in the way that's most natural for you. Again, if you have comments or questions in between shows, synergyrelationshipcoaching@gmail.com. Every week, we're going to be talking about the different things that I've covered in this session, in this episode, in this one different time that I went through everything that I do. Yeah, each week now, I'm going to be talking about what people want to know, because that's a lot of information. That's a year-long coaching program. All of my listeners are welcome to ask me questions that they would ask me if I was their personal life coach. Create synergy in your life. Propel, perpetuate that positive energy that you get from others. Eliminate the negative from your life. That's how you know you are powerful. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Gabrielle Cardona. This is BBS Radio. Have a great week.